Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes.
We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And yeah, we are. And welcome, everybody, to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your host, Kel Fritzy. I'm not quite sure exactly what I'm doing tonight, but things have a way of developing around here. I'm really, really, really pissed off about a whole lot of things. And, you know, it's not unusual for the red fox to turn into the mad fox. But I've had quite a week. Things are developing in the Middle East. Things are developing on the home front. We finally brought our dog home yesterday, and she's in. Okay, you know what? I've got to get over calling him a she. It's a boy. Dobby Amber finally came home yesterday. And he's quite the beautiful little boy. And that it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have a little boy in the house again. If you scroll up in the slides, you'll see me and Dobby Amber together. And it's wonderful. It's just, you know, when they say that there's a gifted serendipity, what they mean by that is that you find something unexpected that makes your day, that makes your life, and makes it all worthwhile. Well, Dobby Amber is a gift of serendipity that will be with us for the rest of our lifetimes. He's bonding quite nicely. It took us 3 weeks to get him home. And I don't think he likes Muslims. But it's just great. As you know, I live in a big old house. And it's three stories. And little Dobby, he follows me all over the house. It's his first full day, but he follows me all over the house at this point. And it was wonderful. I was working on another radio program today. And I had this big, huge old feather bed in the office. And he was rather reticent about lying on it. He didn't know exactly what it was. I mean, this poor little fella had been living in a shelter for 6 months. So he was kind of not too sure what to do with it. But he decided that, oh, okay, I'm going to lie down on this thing. And he snoozed off, and I did my program. He was sawing logs, and it turns out that Dobby Amber is a snorer. But hey, you did not come here to, you know, hear me regale about my latest rescue. But as you all know, I do rescue pets, and I take care of them. Dobby Amba, welcome home. I'm not quite sure what I'm doing tonight, to tell you the truth. I'm so full of, well, you could say my eyes are brown. No, don't do that. I'm so full of news about what's going on within the realm of Islam. It is, you know, jaw-dropping. We're dealing with ISIS. We're dealing with Al-Qaeda. We're dealing with Barack Hussein Sotaro Obama. We're dealing with the Dhimmis in the United Kingdom and elsewhere. I might speak generically for a few moments right now, but I'm reading the headlines, ladies and gentlemen, and how they're being cleansed. They're not talking about what's really going on within the realm of that shit called Islam. When you open up your national dailies and you read about, oh, they're at it again in the West Bank. Israel, Hezbollah, Hamas, and how all these bombs are being dropped. I really don't understand how we as humanitarians can abide at this. I'm getting quite fed up. There was a very, very, very interesting clip that one of my Facebook friends posted on her timeline, and it's called 15 Seconds. And this is compelling. How much time do you have? And, of course, it's a visual. It's a lady. She's in her kitchen, and her toddler is playing in the backyard. And she's looking at her toddler to, you know, make sure that she's okay. And then the sirens go off, and she has 15 seconds to get her family to the bunker. 15 seconds. She grabs her baby, and her toddler is still in the backyard playing with her doll. Mama hears the siren, grabs her baby, gets the baby in the bunker, and runs up to grab her daughter playing in the backyard, and boom, it's too late. Fifteen seconds. this is what Israel lives every single day. And once again, Israel is under siege again. 15 seconds. My God. You know, can you imagine life like that in North America? Even England. And my dear friend, Jeff Mitchell of the English Defense League radio show is joining us. I know that Jeff's father and grandfather, they endured the sirens when the Nazis were attacking and the bombs were coming down. This is everyday life in Israel. I had a friend that, well, he's Canadian. He was born and raised, of course. He found a gift, though, and that took his work international. I was speaking with him. I had known him since grade 9, and I was speaking with him about a year ago. And I said, "Hey, Jim, like, what's it like when you work overseas?" And he said that, well, Israel was kind of difficult. I said, "Well, why was that?" He said, "Because the sirens would go off and we'd all have to take cover." I said, "How did you cope with that? And how do the Israelites cope with that?" He said, "It's just a day in the life." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What happens is that everybody is about, they're doing their shopping or, you know, they're on their lunch break or whatever. And the siren goes off. And the siren goes off, and they go into hiding. And 15 minutes later, they get the clearance that Hamas has not been successful in targeting them today. And then they all get up and they go about their business again. The women with their shopping bags, the men in their construction suits, the business people. It's just like, okay. We had a warning and we took cover. The warning is over and now we're getting on with life. I find this deeply, deeply disturbing. This is not a way to live a life. I think, though, we're going to find it closer and closer to home. If we allow the scourge to continue the way that it is. because they're on the march. They're right in our institutions, in our, and I mean everything, from higher government right down to our public schools. The United States has a socialist in the White House. His name is Barack Hussein Sotero Obama. And he is determined to see the fabric of that country torn down. Do you know that there are people that are tearing up the very American flag because they see the United States of America as colonialists, and they are saying this flag is worthless. And that, of course, are those from south of the porous border. And we all know them as Mexicans. And what Obama has unleashed to the peoples of the United States of America should go down in history as the worst infraction on the trust of the American people in history. We deal with it in the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada. We deal with that as well. I find it atrocious that we have governments that are complicit in this. Who would sit around? What government official would sit around and watch their flag defaced in such a manner, have it torn up, have it burnt? What government would do that? Like I say, it's been a rather weeky day. I don't know what to say to my listeners, my fine listeners. I don't know. You know, Islam plays a big component in this, and we know that. I'm very concerned about the American administration, i.e. Obama administration, not the American. My apologies to my fine American friends. But the Obama administration, I don't know exactly what he's up to. But I know that he is hard-pressed right now to backtrack on a few things, but he's also full bore to ensure other things are carried out. this usurper in chief, he is affecting all of us. He's affecting Canada. He's affecting the UK. He's affecting the Middle East. He's affecting North Africa, Australia. And we don't know what to do with him. Executive order after executive order after executive order. And there seems to be no way of slowing him down. And moving forward in the chat room. Kel, you mean infecting? Yeah. You know what, Moovin? Perfect. Infecting. This person, whatever he touches, turns to rust. Barack Hussein Sotero Obama. I do not know how that happened, that this person could be elected to the People's House. The usurper living in the People's House. Man, you guys are going to have to fumigate that place. But it happened not once, but twice. Who voted for him? Well, not you. Pardon me. Not my listeners. Because I have very smart listeners. I know that this is not what you banked on for a world leader. And somebody to ensure that America would be a beacon on the world stage. But this is what we ended up with. And I say we as a collective. I'm a Canadian. You guys know that. But what happens to the United States happens to the rest of us. We did not bank on this. And I don't know why we ended up here. Was it the uninformed voter? Was it the free phone crowd? Was it because people mistook him for a black man when he's actually a mulatto? I make no bones about how I feel about Obama and his wife, Michelle. I make no bones about how I feel about them. I think Obama has done more damage on the world stage than we can ever imagine. Look what he did in Egypt, Libya, North Africa, Iraq. Look what he is unleashing to you with these amnesties, from Central America, South America. Give us your tired, your weak. You know, Ellis Island. When people came through Ellis Island, they were looking for a better life, and there was no such thing as social services back then. My two grandfathers came through Ellis Island. One stayed in New York. The other settled in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And hello, that's a little Canadian here. This program going on, though, right now. What Obama is doing. He is unleashing the worst of the worst. These are not children. These are leeches. Now, some are babes as young as, 2 years old. Others up to the age of 17, going on 18. And they're showing up in the United States. The older ones with tattoos and gang paraphernalia, as it were. And they're lice ridden and scabie ridden. And they have tuberculosis. They might have MERS, and that is the Middle East respiratory disease. You just stand in the same room with one of them, and you're sick, and you're spreading it. They are introducing diseases that were otherwise eradicated in North America decades ago. Barack Hussein Obama. And moving, thank you. Yep, tuberculosis, hoof and mouth, smallpox and scabies have been identified thus far in the United States with these poor babies, you know, the parentless ones. And more to come. How soon before we start pulling out the iron lungs for polio? Quite frankly, I'm really quite tired of this. And I don't mean that as, I'm really tired about this. No, I'm tired. I'm tired. Because I don't know where to go anymore. I don't know what representative will listen to me anymore. When I call them on the landline, I get rerouted to a voicemail. Or when they call me back and I say exactly what I want to say, they say, oh, well, thank you very much for your interest. It's like the whole point is I'm fed up and what are you going to do about this? How are you going to stop this? How are you going to stop this scourge on our shores, in our countries? How are you going to stop the Islamic scourge, for example, turning our public schools into mosquiterias on Friday afternoons? And I push, and I push, and I push, and I push. And they eventually get fed up with me, and they stop taking my calls. And I feel like I'm always back at square one, always. Why is it that we always have to be back at square one? Well, we the southern border in the United States. What's going on in North Africa and Israel right now? Rockets going back and forth. Oh yeah, like this is unbelievable to me. You try to talk to, with your local politician. And it's almost like they have you on the Gmail file right away. It's like, oh, you know, here she is again. Oh, she's phoning into the office again. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's Kel Fritzy, yeah. Just put her on speaker. Just send her to voicemail. See? This is how these politicians hide. They ignore us. Ignore the voices. They ignore the electorate. They forget that they are our employees. We voted them in good faith to take care of our respective countries. And what do they do in return? They sit on pensions and say thank you very fucking much and retire and move into their ivory towers and leave us in the streets to deal with the mess. They don't care about us. They truly don't. Fat politicians. you try to get a hold of your local representative. Good luck with all that. Well, you know, if you're a newbie, you might have a local rep take your phone call and thank you for your comment and have a great day. Be persistent. They won't even return your email any longer, as I found out with mine. And I'm calling this bitch out, and that's Liz Sandals of the Liberal Party of Ontario. She's the education minister. When I asked her, why are you allowing our public and middle schools to be turned into musketeers every Friday afternoon? At first, they were in earnest to try to address my queries. Nothing was done, nothing was done, nothing was done. I kept phoning and I kept emailing to the point where they put me in the G file automatically. Automatically, I was a G filed. And G filed means that all my queries were put in the garbage. And that bitch got voted back in 2 months ago. I will make every effort I can possibly engage in to dog this woman. She is shameful. She has let down the people of Ontario in her apathy in acknowledging that there is a problem in my school system, my tax dollar sponsored school system, in which she allows the Mohammedans to pray every Friday afternoon. As you can tell, I've been rather discombobulated by issues up today, but that's okay. You guys can put up with me for that. I don't have anything in front of me. I think I have an article somewhere around here I can probably recite. Not too sure. I can look for one. I don't even know if I have a song to play, but it's just, I'm just so despondent today. Reading all the news, the blogs, everything else, it's easy to become overwhelmed. And I'm a sensitive soul. There are some sites that I purposefully try to stay away from on any given day. I'm trying to stay away with what's going on in Israel right now because, you know, they're lobbing bombs back and forth. And I actually, went in, and I was looking at some of the footage of that, and I had to turn it off because, and Holge is right, I do sound tired, and I am. I'm very tired. I'm just having one of those days where when you're a counter-jihadist, or, as my friend Eric Brazil says, a pro-Westerner, you have to do so much research. And but it does exhaust you. It really does. This is why I wish I was with my friend, my friends Tim and June when they went to Wales. It would have been great to take 2 weeks off from this shit. And just get away from it all. But it's hard because it follows you. It's impossible to get away from it. Short of leaving my iPad at home and my cell phone, it would be great, though. It would be something else if we could have a wonderful world, even for 24 hours, okay? Like, if we could sit and have a wonderful world for 24 hours, that would be fantastic. But that's unrealistic, and that's wishful thinking. I have a very, very, very dear friend who is joining me on the line, and that is my sweet Sue from New Mexico. Hi, sweet Sue.
Hey, hi, Kel. Congratulations on your doggy coming home.
Oh, thanks, sweetie.
Yes, that was wonderful. You know, there's just a few things that are happening, and I wanted to let the listeners know. I found today, it just broke today, that these illegal immigrants, they're giving them papers, and these papers can be printed off of a printer, and they're filling it out, and this is all they have to show to be able to get on an airline. They don't pay for tickets or anything else. And I think I sent it to you. If not, I'll double-check the article,
okay.
And they show the paper and everything. But the scary thing about this is terrorists now can just walk up, show this paper, and the TSA is not patting them down. Well, probably they're afraid of the diseases, but they're not patting them down.
Mm-hmm.
They are not taking them through the TSA checks, anything. They show them the paper. They walk right on through onto the airplane. And this is a really scary thing that's happening. And the other thing, when I thought Obama could not get any lower with our military, it's come out today. Alan West had a great article. Our soldiers in Afghanistan, I can't remember how many, over 1,000. Anyway, there's a lot of them, captains. They're giving them their pink slip while they are in a combat zone over there fighting. If you can believe that, they're telling them, you come back, your career's over, you're out of, you know, the army, the military, we're downsizing. But who could do that? you know, there are soldiers' wives who are writing in to a lot of the blogs from military about what they're experiencing, and there's been a couple of wives who have written in, you know, that whose husbands have already gotten this, and they are devastated. Their career's over, yet they're over there. These are captains. They're leading men, and they're supposed to perform their duties. And what does this do to someone's mind? You know, how am I going to support my family? What am I going to do? And, it, you know, it just takes the edge off of some of these men. I can't even imagine what they are going through. But, you know, this is one of the worst things I've ever heard Obama do, honest. Anyway, that's, I just wanted to give you this too.
This is overwhelming to me, Sue, and that Obama would allow this to take place. But another issue, of course, that we have to be apprised of is the fact that a lot of these children, and I'm using air quotes because some of these children are 17 years old, and they're gangbangers, and they're tattooed. But a lot of these children are coming over, and they're rife with disease. And they're not being vetted, and they're being put on these airplanes, and they're being put on buses, and they are engaging in airborne disease.
Yes. And you know, well, being a nurse, I know if you have lice or any of these, you know, and you get that into an airline anywhere, you know, you're pretty much ripping out your seat. But the TB that is coming across, especially from the other than Mexicans, the Guatemalan, it is drug-resistant TB. There's already been a border patrol agent who has contracted, you know, the drug-resistant TB. So these diseases are getting very dangerous. Another disease that they're watching for and they believe is going to come through is Ebola. Ebola right now, the World Health Organization, they're having one of the biggest outbreaks of Ebola in Africa, and it is spreading, and it is spreading fast. And anybody who knows anything about Ebola, there is no cure. Your temperature goes up so high that you basically hemorrhage and bleed out. So Ebola is another thing that is coming through. So, you know, what Obama is doing and then spreading it all around the United States, but it's also going close to the Canadian border. So you can expect from, you know, Mexico, the United States, Canada, you know, that's the route that it's going to do. And what's really sad is nobody paid attention for years. I have been on this. Even the BTR, you know, host, it was just something, well, it's happening on the border. And I kept saying, no, it's going everywhere. And these gangs are the M13 gangs. And they are the most dangerous, the worst gangs that there are, from, you know, Guatemala and that the tri-country area, and they work for the drug cartels, which are already here, and they're basically hit squads. They go around and they take people out, and in Nogales, Texas, that's where they started to see it. You know, gangs, they have to put their mark, and the city is going all over. You know, as they're moving, they're finding the PD. So, you know, this is what that. And I know you're having a hard time tonight. I didn't mean to bring you down anymore. But I tell you, this airplane thing, you know, I kept thinking, no, the cells, it's going to be something ground. But when I saw that and made my head spin, and that the TSA is just looking at it and passing people through. It's amazing.
You know, Sue, you're living in the midst of this, and I had an issue with my my studio the other day, and I wish
I know.
I want to ask you though. You're living in the midst of this, and when you see this coming about around you, how do you feel about this? Like, this is, I think this is a devastation upon the peoples of America. And I do say the peoples of America, not Barack Hussein Obama's America.
Right.
When you have to address this and you are seeing this, what recourse are you capable of taking, if any, at this point?
There is absolutely nothing we can do. A little over a year ago, and Obama did it across the southern states. He moved all of the Border Patrol 50 miles away from the border. People don't realize that all of your border checkpoints are now 50 miles inward. Now, Texas, Perry, and then, you know, they're spending money and, you know, trying to stop some of it at the border. Arizona can't because going 60 miles north, there's a national monument, and the feds have said you can't, you know, it's federal land, you can't come on this. So these people are going 50 miles north of the border before they ever apprehend them. Okay, people got to realize this. 50 miles north, he moved the borders. And our town, Las Cruces, which has a university, and that's where the one terrorist, you know, the American citizen he was from, that they blew up him and his son with the drone in the Mideast.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
This is right now, and it's right there on the border. This is a college town. There's no protection for these people. The ranchers, they're getting their doors marked in blood, warning them not to speak. They cannot carry a cell phone and to have a gun, never. Because the coyotes, and these are the people who work for the drug cartels, they're the people who are transporting a lot of these kids right now. They go on federal land, and in New Mexico, you have your flat areas, but you also have your mountains. Anyway, these coyotes are snipers. They sit up, you know, and they use binoculars. And they watch, and if they see this is how one of the ranchers that was killed on the border, why he was killed, and he was using a cell phone. They see the cell phone, they think, you know, and the coyotes are smuggling across at the time, and they take the people out. They see a gun, they will shoot them. And this is what people on the border are living with, and it's already here in Santa Fe. There are gunfights here. There are murders. 17-year-old was killed behind my trailer. I had a hunting knife pulled on me. People know this. And ICE was forced to turn them loose, and everybody right now is really angry, you know, at ICE. But the Border Patrol Union and also ICE's union has been trying to stop it, but Obama has issued executive orders that have tied their hands.
Oh, God.
The guy who broke in and pulled the knife on me was released 3 days after he was picked up by ICE back into the community. If it was a U.S. citizen, they would have been in jail and gone, you know, to trial. But when you look, I live in New Mexico State Capital, okay? This is occurring in Albuquerque, our largest city. In our state capital. I know there's a lot going on in Atlanta. That's one of the routes that they're taking. That with Obama, he wasn't happy with them just following the routes up north. He's bringing them all over. And there'll be some children, yes, that are coming. But I think it is for the votes, but I also think it is to get these really bad people in here. And they're basically like the Black Panthers. We have La Raza here, whose motto is kill the gringo. And they call them brown shirts. They're a Murrieta. They're, you know, just all over, and they're coming out in droves. And these are the equivalent to the Black Panthers. And nobody can do anything about them. But they would just as soon kill you as look at you. And this is what is going on here. And this is going to be spread to every state in the United States. Once it gets started, it just like escalates. And I saw it happen in my state. You know, at first it wasn't here. And then it came, and then it got worse and worse. And with him spreading it all over the United States, you're going to see this happening all over. And also the danger to these children. 2 days ago, a cargo train, now it derailed in Mexico. It hadn't reached us yet, but the English translation for this train is the death train, and it showed it. And young children and people, they just all sit on top of this, you know, freight cars, and they bring them in across the border this way. Well, the freight car went off the rails. So, you know,
it's almost like something you see out of India or something.
It is. It's really shocking when you see. I didn't realize these trains were there, but there. I don't remember which side it was, but there are pictures and everything, and it just sends shivers, you know, with what you see. So what is that? And they're expecting 150,000 more by the end of this year. 150,000. And, you know, Obama, he is not going to do anything. Rick Perry stood up to him. But, you know, I don't know why the governors of the state don't call in the National Guard. I believe they have the ability to do that. But I think part of it is the tremendous amount of money it is costing the state. And Obama is refusing to give any money to the border state to help. You know, when you do bring in the National Guard, you know, there's a really high cost. He is basically bankrupting, you know, all of the states is what he is doing. And then he asked Congress for, you know, this $300-some billion. Well, he will not say how he is going to use that. He will not lay out a plan of how much of this money, if you give it to me, this is what I'll do on the border to stop it. It's another, you know, shell game of Obama and the Democrats. So, you know, things are bad. And let me tell people, the Hispanics, the native Hispanics, the third, fourth, fifth generation Hispanics, I'm a fourth generation New Mexican, and they do not like what is happening. They do not like the illegal aliens. They have seen their peaceful lives, their peaceful farms, their peaceful communities turned into a battleground. So if people think that the Hispanics and the GOP better get their head out of the, you know what, if they think that the Hispanics, the true Americans, and I hear from a lot of them, are behind this immigration reform and letting them come through and the Dream Act. Let me tell you, they're not. They're not. And
yeah,
anyway,
I
need to just be quiet because, you know, I get really riled with all this stuff.
Sue, I am so glad that I have you on the line, and everybody in the chat room is in total agreement with everything you're saying. I have a question for you, and I'm so glad that I have you on the line, and I can ask you some questions. And one question in particular I want to ask you, of course, with this amnesty program, you know, quote unquote, the demographics are going to change the fabric of the United States probably within a generation, and this will be Barack Hussein Sotero's Obama's undoing. How do you see things 20 years down the road if this continues?
If this continues, I see America is lost, and I hate to say that this is a plan of the progressives. It's part of Cloward Piven. I'm sure the people in the chat room, they've heard of this. What Cloward Piven, their philosophy is you destroy it from within. You bring catastrophic, and you know, they even said through illnesses, any way that you have to, economy, you break it down from within, and then you move in and you take over. Now, with Obama, everybody needs to pay attention, and I've been looking for a map for exactly where all these immigrants are going. That he is strategically placing them around the United States. And like Marietta is 80% Anglo-white. Okay, so he's wanting to bring in a bunch of Hispanics. And when you go and you look at congressional districts, okay, the House, you know, it goes by a district. And districts that are not predominantly Hispanic, he's shipping them in there. And the thing is, you know, Obama, he won by voter fraud last time. There is no question or doubt. And what will be happening with these people is they will be voting 2014, and there are adults that are coming over. There's mothers and fathers coming with these children. They'll do anything to get their children in. Okay, we give you all of this. This is what you do for us. You know, in New Mexico, we have a voter ID, but the law reads if the pollster doesn't want to look at it, they don't have to. When I went in to vote, I pulled out my voter ID. Now, I live in the barrio, and I'm surrounded by illegals, okay? I showed I showed my voter ID. The poll workers turned their head. They would not look at it. And I saw one after the other not speaking English voting. And so this is exactly what the end game is, to bring down America from within, and also the voters in the specific districts, because the power, they need the House. The House controls the purse, or so we hope. You know, they haven't been doing too good of a job, but they need the House. And the easiest way to go about it is congressional districts.
I want to ask you, how do you feel about the influx of the illegals swimming across the southern border, as endorsed by Barack Hussein Sotero Obama. And that you know, they're not the huddled masses. They're not the tired. They're not the poor. They're the ones that want to take advantage of your generous social system. But they're going to be the voters of tomorrow. But they're also going to be the ones that will influence the. How shall I put it? The political system down the road, and you living where you are, you're seeing this you've been seeing this every single day for the last 20 years where you are. You have seen the writing on the wall years and years and years ago, and this is why you have such a vested interest. I am very worried about the barrio and everything like that. What do you think is going to happen with this influx of the exodus? And I call it the exodus.
Well, you know, just what I told you, and they really don't, you know, swim across the Rio Grande. There are actually so many tunnels. See, the drug cartel started doing business with Hezbollah, 10, 15 years ago. But basically what they were doing was they were doing the money laundering, the drug cartels, and Hezbollah was sending it to the Middle East. Now it has changed. In the beginning, the drug cartels did not cut off the heads, you know, the blood. Everything you see the drug cartels doing mimics Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS. That is their influence coming in, and it's also being done by Hezbollah. And they have built tunnels. Now, the tunnels they used to have, you know, were kind of dug out, and they go under the border fences, mm-hmm. or they go directly, you know, into a warehouse. Now the tunnels that they are finding are very elaborate, and they are exactly like the tunnels that they find in Egypt, between Gaza and Egypt, and, you know, all the Middle East. So these tunnels are being done by terrorists. And as far as, you know, everybody's getting real excited, you know, oh, they found prayer rugs now and everything. I'm sorry. They've been finding prayer rugs on the northern part of the border for a good 4 or 5 years. There have been IEDs planted on the northern part of the U.S. border in Texas. We're talking IEDs, terrorist IEDs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people need
wake
up. And with all of these people coming in, it's going to collapse us. It's going to collapse our school system, you know, in 20 years.
God,
they're going to have all this bilingual and, you know, how are the schools, how are the towns? It's going to bankrupt the towns. And like I said, Barack Obama is handpicking where these children go. And another thing. Veterans have been turned away from the VA hospitals because they were busy seeing illegal immigrants. This is going on now, too.
And that's another thing. It's not only the social services that are under siege, and they will be. It's the civilizational siege that is going on, and that the influx. And I quoted in my chat room, The Camp of the Saints by Jean Raspal, and he's the one who wrote that novel, and he depicted a hypothetical setting whereby third world mass immigration France, but I'm using that as a template. And the West will lead to the destruction of Western civilization, and that's exactly what it is. This is how I'm seeing what Barack Hussein Sotero Obama is unleashing upon the United States of America and the Western world in general, is that this is the camp of the saints, and that we have this influx going on, and I don't know if we can turn back the tide, Sue.
You know, we could. There's a senator who came, a rapper, a senator, I don't remember, who did a study, and for the money that Obama is asking, we could get a first-class airplane ticket back to the country of origin, put them up in a hotel, feed them for something like one-fifth of what Obama wants. So it could be done. You put the National Guard on the border, you seal up the border, you work with the state, you stop it. Those that are in here, you know, people are like, oh, we can't send back 150,000. Well, it's a lot cheaper than how much they're spending right now. You can, a first-class plane ticket, put them up in a hotel, feed them in their own country. And, you know, when you say, as America goes, so goes the rest of the world, it's heading your
way. And we have 1926 that wants to have a word with you, Sue. And 1926, what's your name and what's your comment?
You know who this is. This is No Way.
No
Way. This is
way.
My home phone.
Oh,
this is
there
my home
you go.
Phone.
That's Way.
Yeah.
No Way. Welcome
to
the program.
Nice
to and welcome to my and Sue's conversation. And I'm going to...
Hi, No Way.
Hi, Sue. Well, you know, it was something this week because when I'm up in the tower, I do have a radio that I can, and you get great reception when you're on top of everything. So I can sift through, I can listen to the liberals babble on for a while, then I can listen to the so-called Republicans babble, and then I can listen to the conservatives carry on. But in between all of this, there's one common thing. The second you mention to any of them about the ads running in the newspapers down through Central America, and they have been for over 8 months, that there are youth help programs in America. There are planes flying right from America, the United States government, right down to Central America, into Honduras and Guatemala, and they're picking these kids up by the thousands. And they're shipping them up by the thousands. This whole thing was orchestrated. This is all, I mean, they can call me a conspiracy theorist all they want. But one thing that proved it to me the other night that there's more to it, that they're trying to hide, is because Lindsay Marshall, we all know she does this liberal show, and, you know, and she's somewhat level-headed at times. But she put out a tweet, and I answered it about the ads. She came right to me and wanted me to call into her show. But I got in there late, and the show was ending. But it piques their interest, because how are you finding this out? And I've heard it through three or four different shows and everything throughout the week. I even heard Rush Limbaugh speak right up today when somebody had called in and mentioned it, and he said, conspiracy theorists, and he goes off on a tangent, and you never hear from the guy again. Why are they trying to cover this up? We've got emails from January. And they're looking for chaperones of these kids. This is all the plan of the globalist, and we've got it, and here's the end of the progressive plan. Now, as Sue had pointed to, all these diseases, smallpox, we stopped producing the smallpox vaccine years ago because we eradicated it in America.
Yeah.
And now they're coming right back forth with it. How long would it take us to develop another smallpox vaccine?
And that's exactly my point, is that these third world earth are swimming across the border under Barack Hussein Sotero Obama's executive order. They're arriving in the United States, and they're arriving with these diseases that were indeed eradicated in the Western world, North America, Canada, and the United States. I don't consider Mexico to be part of North America. I should say that I thought Mexico should never have been inclusive in North America. It should have been restricted, of course, to United States and Canada, but here we are. We have all these people swimming across through the benevolence of Mexico, and this is settling on United States territory right now. This is disgraceful. I don't know what the United States people should be doing about this, and no way. I'm so glad that you joined us tonight. And just to apprise people that you can hear No Way 90 Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time at the Reactionary Speaks Network. But you're off this week, aren't you?
Yes, we're off tonight and tomorrow night. But I'm coming back,
but
all new promos, all new. And I'm going to dig into this a lot further because people need to wake up. I mean, people really need to see, have we ever seen a leader of a country use media and literally mock the American people and laugh at them? And I ain't running for re-election, and I'm the only one doing anything. And when Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, this is the same way they created anger and hatred. And I have to give Rush Limbaugh credit on this because he said it earlier this week, and I agreed with it when I heard it, that this whole thing started. They knew the American people probably weren't going to like it, so what's the first narrative they came out with? It's all about the children.
Oh, God.
And they start tugging on people's heartstrings. So then people start losing the sense of reality. And
yeah, but those
next
children
thing you know,
are like 17 years old with a tattooed gangbanger.
Well, listen real close now. Listen real close now when they start saying, well, it's children and adult children. You know what the cutoff age is? 32. 32 is the cutoff age.
32 years
that,
old.
And it's like, what do you mean? And I'm thinking, what do you mean they have a cutoff age? Now I'm hearing, first it was children. Now it's children and adult children. What are you talking about? See, so
what is the adult
there's so
children?
Much to it. Yeah. And, I mean, holy cow. You know, we're not allowed to go in. The media is not allowed to go in. Senators and stuff aren't allowed to go in. But Sheila Jackson Lee can go in with a bunch of lollipops.
Oh, yeah. And
right.
What I heard, too, is that the cutoff date for benefits for children under their parents' plan is 25. When did we start raising child adults? I don't get that, Noe. I really don't get that.
Well, this started a few years back. This is all part of the initiation into Common Core. Our school systems have dumbed down our generation so much that now they don't consider a, you know how in America when you have car insurance, they don't consider you mature enough until you're 26. Because we have kids graduating from high school at 18, and statistics and all these studies are proving they have the mentality of a 14-year-old. Because everything has been made relative for them. There, you don't have to worry about nothing, and if any problem arises in your life, you go to this agency, and this agency can help you. So it back to the same, right? So it comes back to the same old thing of the Department of Agriculture putting out signs. I'm in the middle of the wilderness, and there's signs right there from on the federal tower that sits behind mine. There's also a sign that says from the Department of Agriculture, do not feed wildlife because they will become dependent on it. But yet these are this is the same agency that, do I dare say, runs the EBT program. So what's the difference?
Well, that's the thing is that I am really, really getting distressed when I read these reports coming out of the United States, and that, the age of consent seems to be getting lower and lower, I mean, i.e. when you can have sex and get birth control. But the age of protectionism, i.e. Health insurance plans or whatever, is becoming higher and higher. I was shocked to read that children, and they're called children, of 25 years of age, no way, 25 years of age.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. It just seems like my universe turned sideways to Sunday. And, hey, Sue, I was wondering, do you have any thoughts about that one as well?
The 25-year-old getting the insurance?
Yeah.
It's absolutely ludicrous. If you love your child, you will set them free and you will make them learn to fend for themselves because you're not going to be there all the time. I did that with my daughter. Yeah, she was really angry at me. She had to struggle. But you know what? Even if I'm not here tomorrow, she can take care of herself. The more dependency that you give your child, the more that you hurt them. And that's my thought on that thing.
Right, and that's how social engineering works.
Yeah.
These progressives, it's been the 100-year plan, and we're on 102 years right now, and we're coming to the end game, and they've set everything in place. They have made people so dependent on government programs and other people doing things for them. And yes, like Sue said, I've seen doctors at 75 years old and they can't close their practices because they have 30-something-year-old kids that are all still tied to their wallets. And
I have a question. And no way, I want you to address this. And I'm interjecting because if I don't interject, things slip through my little porous mind here. But ever since Obamacare, Noe, I understand that there are a lot of medical students that have shifted their majors in medicine, and we understand that a lot of doctors are retiring because of Obamacare. Before I carry forth, ladies and gentlemen, yes, you are listening to a Kendra Jihadist program, but there are a lot of issues going on in the United States. Me, as a Canadian, I have quite the vested interest, and I'm so blessed that I have Sue from New Mexico and Noe 90 joining me. But getting back to topic, Noe, I understand mm-hmm. that there are a lot of medical students that are changing their majors because of the Obamacare Act.
Yeah, there's many stipulations in there, and what it all comes down to is a typical single-payer healthcare system. You have one person that holds all the money, which in this case is the federal government, and they set the reimbursement. You don't get paid a fee anymore, you get reimbursed. So what's been happening right along with Medicaid, and it started hitting Medicare as well, say you turn in a $1,000 bill for services rendered. They're only paying you 70% of that bill.
Oh, wow.
And now what's happening is now they're going to tell the doctors, we will set your reimbursement rate, and we will reimburse you for your services rendered. So it'll be whatever the government wants to pay. Now, these doctors that are going through medical school, you know who's making the money now? Nurses, RNs, because more of the responsibility within the hospitals is being dumped onto the nurses, because the doctors aren't getting reimbursed, and the doctors are limited to, well, here, you got 5 minutes per patient. So you tell them what's going on, and next. And people, we told them this was all in it. All of this regulation was in it. It's almost like Obamacare was set up to fail, so the government has to step in with their government-run single-payer health care, which is what we see today in Medicaid, in Medicare, and of all the VA hospitals. This is your classic government-run single-payer health care. The government tells you what you're going to pay and what we're going to pay you in return. And it'll come right back to your HMOs.
This is a very complicated topic to get into. Canada, we have a universal health care, and that everybody is covered. There are some things that are not covered, eye care, dental care, et cetera, but everybody is guaranteed emergency care, for example. If you're in a car accident, you're covered as long as you're a Canadian citizen. If you're an illegal, you're not covered. If you are a fraudster, you're not covered. I don't understand what Obamacare was trying to accomplish. He seems that he was trying to cover everybody, including illegals. And
well, yes,
when it was disclosed
that is happening.
When it was disclosed that he was covering illegals and so on and so forth, which Canada does not do, he kind of balked at that and said, don't call it Obamacare. And I want to ask Sue a question, though, and I want to get back to the roots of the program, in a sense. And Sue, you must see a lot of movement and the advantages that they take part in, and your generous social services when they swim across the border.
Yeah, it's on disability and you know, Medicare, and I cannot get, you know, a lot of the services or help that an illegal through Health and Human Services, which they just have to go in and they get basically everything, and they don't have to prove anything. Like for me, I would have to pull out months of bills and, you know, just tremendous, tremendous paperwork that an illegal can just walk in. And in my state, they get everything. And Governor Susana Martinez, for people out there, she is one of the worst rhinos there ever were. And New Mexicans do not like her, but, you know, she's better than a Democrat. But it was a big letdown with her. For instance, I lost my driver's license. I had to go in and show my Social Security official copy of my birth certificate standing right next to me. An illegal walked in, and he showed them a utility bill. He got his license. And, you know, I'm talking food, utility. Oh, God, to go to the emergency room at our hospital, you feel like you're in Mexico, is exactly how you feel. And they just walk through and get seen, you know, no problem whatsoever. So, yeah, an illegal, they can get anything that they want, showing a utility bill. They're not asked to prove anything. No Social Security, nothing that the American citizen has to do. And they get everything. And I'm sick and tired of it.
I think that's shameful, and that American citizens are treated thus, and those illegally and on Obama's dime. Well, it's not his dime, it's your dime. That they're swimming across, and they are afforded everything that they could ever need. But people like Sue cannot get the basic needs that she needs to have basic health care. And No Way 90, your family, they probably would not be afforded the same as well. This is absolutely horrendous to me. We have switched gears a little bit, but I think this is very, very, very important in that we're speaking about Obama's amnesty with the illegals coming across the border. As you know, we are also going to have to deal with the jihadists, the Muslims, that will be swimming across that same border, and they will be taking advantage of the healthcare system and your social services, and they may be working their way up into Canada. Very much a concern with me. And Noe, I am so glad that you are staying with Sue and myself. Noe, when you see what's going on in the southern border and the potential for jihadist crossing, Sue has already pointed out that there has been Qurans and prayer mats being sighted in the coyote zones. No way. How does that make you feel?
Oh, that bothers me bad, because what's happened here in Maine is there's some of the cities that are going against the governor, and they're opening their cities right up to illegals. And they're openly saying, they're calling them immigrants. undocumented immigrants. Now, I have heard there's a lot of Muslims coming across right within this. Now, where are them Muslims going to go? They're going to go right into Portland. They're going to go right into Bangor. They're going to go right into Lewiston, Auburn, right where there's already Somali strongholds set right up. And these people are going to come right in. And we try talking about it, and we try speaking up, and you know, like the same walls you run into, you're the problem. Not the terrorists coming here that want us all dead, but you're the problem for speaking out. And that really bothers me a lot, because I've been saying it right along that they're going to take over and they're going to push their way right in. And by the time they start blowing up stores and nightclubs and hospitals and everything else, it's going to be too late. And I think that's what's coming.
I've got somebody here that would like to add to that, and that is Jess from the EDL radio show. And hi, Jess.
Yeah, good evening, Kel. And I've been very interested in the great conversation that you have here. And I know, and it's good to see you, brother. And, of course, with Sue. And as I say, the two things that come to my mind is that, you know, everybody's concerned about the way that this wave of people are just turning up in our countries. And, of course, we know the implications, what that is, as Kel was saying, the jihadists as well. And the word comes back, and it's something that I've been thinking about for a long time, and I've spoke about it on numerous occasions, is, social engineering comes to mind. And, you know, with what we've seen with the socialists over the last, say, 100 years, what you were talking about nowhere just a little while ago, but also, let's call it what it is, population replacement, the genocide of the indigenous people of the countries and the nations. Is that what we're seeing? It's an open question to you, no way, and maybe to Sue and you, Kel. Is this what we're seeing in our nations? You know, on a massive scale, because it's happening all over the world. This is a global situation. We've got a very critical situation, and I think it's got to be dealt with. We haven't got the politicians, because they're all dimified or appeasers. They don't want to talk about it. It's us in the wrong, because we bring it up, because we're so concerned. We love our countries. We love our nations. If we don't do something, we don't put people in power to stop this happening, as you say now, they're going to be bombing all over the place. They're going to take over. And we're going to be a part of history if we don't do something. And no, we've still got time. We must gather the forces and take this on. Take the bull by the horns. It's just that I was being really interested. That's the reason why I called in, guys. I was sort of dropping, and you know, I was been a bit sorry. It was a bit late tonight for me. It's Kel knows. But I thought it was so important that I called in.
I appreciate your calling in. Oh, Jess, anytime you call in to the Red Fox Blogger, believe me, it is always a fulfillment. So I appreciate it very much.
I've been impressed with your show tonight, Kel. As I said, keep it rolling. Well, we still had a little conversation. Keep rolling. And you've had a fantastic show. And it's been keeping me awake, no way. And Sue and Kel, and I thank you all. Absolutely, this is so massive what we're talking about this evening, that we can talk for hours and hours, and we could talk for days about this situation. Have we got that time, though? Do we need to do something constructive?
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's the thing, is that Jeff and myself, we speak so much together on the sidelines, because if we're not going over show notes, we're just talking cats and dogs. But we always say, Jeff and myself, our common saying is that we could do this 24/7, but we can't, because we have to sleep and we have to eat, otherwise we'll die.
come true. But what a great show tonight, Kel. As I say, as you can hear, Kel's been a bit tired this evening, but my goodness me, you know how to pull it out the bag, don't you? She's like a magician, she is, guys. I'm very impressed with your show tonight, Kel. And no way, it's always a pleasure to hear you, brother, always. And Sue, God bless you. It's always a pleasure. You're my friend.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
It's very
great,
great to hear
place
from
to
you,
be.
Jeff.
And Jeff, great show on the EDL today. Loved it.
I am down to my last 15 minutes.
Good
and
week, Kel. Have you gone that quick?
But I really want to thank all the people that joined me in the studio, and that's No Way 90. And, of course, my sweet Sue through New Mexico. And, of course, my Jeff from EDL Radio. I want to thank people that have been joining me in the chat room, and that is Agador and Bigfoot, Doc, Golf Dogs, Holder Awakens, Moving Forward, Paul Alexander, and, of course, my sweet Annie of Southern Sense is Conservative Sense. I have had a rather emotional week and a rather exhaustive week. I brought home my dog, Dobby. Dobby Amber finally came home last night, and she enjoyed... I keep calling him she. It's a he. It's a he, ladies and gentlemen. I suppose we've always had female pets, and this is the first time we've had a male pet, people. And Dobby, he's adjusting quite nicely. And if you scroll up and look in the show highlights, you'll see me and Dobby. I really do appreciate the time that you spend with me. And I want to give Sweet Sue a final closing point.
Well, you know, the one thing, and because this is on Jihad, I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm almost 100% sure of this. There will be an attack in America by Islamists. They've already tried in France. I believe Britain's under threat. We probably are, but Obama's not. You know, we're going to be the last to hear about it. And when or if we ever find out where the terrorists came from, they will have come from across the border. They're not going to come in flying in from the Middle East. They're going to come from across the border. And I hate to leave on, you know, that note, but this is very, very serious. And just I want to say God bless everyone. God bless the United States, our troops. God bless you, No Way, Kel, of course. And please send me a picture of you and the dog. I want to see it. And anyway, no surrender ever.
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 Ever. How true.
And Sue, thank you so very much for gracing my airwaves tonight. It's always an absolute pleasure to speak with you. You're my mainstay. Ladies and gentlemen, I make no bones when I say that Friday nights, Sue, she doesn't normally come on the air per se, but she is there with me pre-showtime, and I'm serious. It's like, Sue, I don't know what I'm doing. And Sue says, yes, you do, and you'll be fine. So,
yes.
Sue, I love you so very much.
I love you so, too.
But No Way. No Way.
Yes.
Do you have a closing point?
Well, I just want to say that it is time that America starts to read the writing on the wall. It's not a foreign language. It's in plain English. And it's wake up or fail, period. And I think we all need to just get together and fight our common enemy. And right now our common enemy is our government, and they're right in bed with everything that is wrong in the world.
Amen to that.
And
it's well said.
And
I
want to say thank you very much, Cal, for giving me the time and doing what you do. And it's so nice to hear you, Sue. And, you know, I miss you a lot when I don't see you around. And I'm glad to hear you're doing great, and you've done a great job tonight. And Jeff, it's great to hear from you. I know I miss a lot of your guys' shows. The times are wrong, but I do catch a lot of archives, And, you know, God bless you for what you do. You know, England's right knee-deep in it like we are, and it's going to take us all working together to end this common threat.
Amen.
Thank you.
So on that, I thank you all again, and you all have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
You too, Noah.
Thank you, Noah.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you so very much. And
you're very
Jeff?
Yes, Kel. Something shiny caught me eye, Kel. I'm doing it, Kel. Something shiny caught me eye. Oh, I'd like to thank you, Kel. What did I say, Kel? Rock and roll. Before we start the show tonight, rock and roll. And I would say it's so good to hear that you know why. So good to always to hear you, Sue. And that little giggle. She's got a lovely little giggle, Kel, isn't she? Yeah, And it makes me laugh. When you laugh, Sue, it makes me laugh. So I've got to thank you. No way. Always words of wisdom, brother. Always. And we are in this together. We will prevail. We're the good guys. There's a lot out there. There's a lot of badness. But we will prevail. The light will always overcome the darkness out there. There you go. That's my final thoughts for this evening. And, of course, for myself, no surrender ever, guys. We're in this together for the long haul.
Ever.
Love you, Jeff.
Amen, Jeff. Amen.
Yeah.
Love you all. Thank you. Thank you, all of you, for being here and gracing my radio program. You have been my gift of serendipity for the day. I sometimes feel like I'm in fallow, and I do not know where I'm drifting. But when I do the radio show, I have people like you that bring me back and ground me and make me realize what I'm doing. And that is that I am protecting a legacy, and that is for our children and our grandchildren. As you know, I am a self-described counter-jihadist, or as my friend Eric says, a pro-Westerner. But you know what? There is an entity out there, and it is threatening, very threatening. It's called jihad. It's called Islam. And we have to curtail this, because if we don't, our children and our grandchildren will look at us and wonder what happened. What did you do? How did you stop it? And you do not want to look them in the eye and say, I did nothing. What you want to do is say, I did something. Like maybe you had a radio show. Maybe you had a street protest. Maybe you had a blog. But you know what? You can look your children straight in the eye and said, this is what I did. I stood up. The reason why my show was entitled "And Islam Still Sucks" is because it does. Islam fucking sucks, okay? And it's mass Islamity, and we have to stop the insanity. I want to thank everybody for joining me, and I'm sorry for the F-bomb. Oopsie, I didn't really mean to do that, but, you know, it's craziness out there. Islam was born. I don't think that Mohammedans are human beings. I think it's a species. And I don't know where they came from, whether they came from space or they came from, you know, the depths of hell out of a cave. But I know one thing. Mohammedans are not human beings, and we have to ensure the eradication. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining me. I will see you on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a good night. ¶¶